When not draw your attention this morning to the book of 2 Thessalonians. I want to read the first two verses of chapter 3. And the word of the Lord reads, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith." One of the things that the Apostle Paul was certainly known to do was he was careful to remind the churches and the individuals who were recipients of his epistles that he prayed for them. If you'll remember, in the Apostle Paul's first letter to the church at Thessalonica, that he told them that they gave thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Paul told the church at Thessalonica that he prayed for them. He not only prayed for them to give in giving thanksgiving to God for them, he prayed for them to the Lord, that the Lord would watch over and keep them. He even says at the beginning of the same letter in which I've read to you from this morning, that they were bound to thank God always for you. He's careful and he's mindful to tell the church that you're in my thoughts and you're in my prayers. See, Paul was not a fatalist. Paul didn't believe that all things that come to pass were set forth before the foundation of the world, and that there was no reason to beckon and beseech the Lord to hear our needs and to know that we're thankful unto Him for the condition of some things and that we need His intervention in some other things so that He could change the course of the outcome. See, if the outcome is already set, there's no reason to pray for the Lord to intervene to change an outcome. See, there's an outcome of some things that are set. Whenever it comes to the Lord's children and their home in glory, I want to tell you, little Lamb of God, this morning, that the outcome of that choice is set. The Lord made a choice before the foundation of the world, according as He had chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. That the choice concerning redemption, that the choice concerning eternal salvation, that the choice concerning those that were going to be in glory forever and ever with the Lord Jesus Christ and with His Father, the outcome is set. We may beseech the Lord and pray unto Him and thank Him for that outcome, but we should never go to Him and pray that the outcome that He's already set in place and that He's already determined would come to pass, because whether or not you pray for it or not, the eternal salvation of the Lord's people is not something that the Lord is going to change. I am the Lord. I change not, is what the Scripture tells us in the Old Testament. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And whenever it comes to the Lord's people, He changes not. He loves them. And even though He's displeased with them at times, even though they may not do everything that He is pleasing in His sight, it is set. And He changes not. He loves them and they're His. But Paul understood that even though that was the truth about our home in heaven, that there is a need for us to pray unto the Lord, to give thanks unto Him for timely things, to pray unto Him that the Lord would intervene and that the Lord would be with us in some things that we stand in need of Him for. We need the Lord. We need the Lord each and every day. And the Apostle Paul wanted the church at Thessalonica to know that you need God, and I'm going to pray to God on your behalf. Even when you neglect to pray, I will pray for you that the Lord will watch over and keep you. You know, I'm reminded often of the times that the Lord has delivered me, and I didn't pray for that deliverance. I'm sure I'm not the only one this morning that can think of times in our past when the Lord delivered me, even when I was too ignorant to pray for it. You know, sometimes we crawl in our car and it's such an ordeal to get everybody loaded up. And by the time we get loaded up, we seem to be in such a need to hasten and back up and get going that it's when I arrive somewhere that I realize that I forgot to pray before I even pulled out to start the trip. But the Lord delivered me. You know, there's times I think about that and times I fail to pray. But even in those cases, you know, I can also think of times when people have told me that they've prayed for me and that they've prayed that the Lord would be with me, even when I failed to pray for the Lord to be with me. You know, I think one of the things that a parent learns to do when their child gets 16 years old is they learn to pray for the Lord's providential care over their youngins. Because there's not any adult that cannot remember what the mindset of a 16-year-old is that knows that when they get behind that wheel, they need something above and beyond just what you gave them naturally in order to deliver them through what they're about to embark on. They need the Lord. And that's what Paul is doing on behalf of the church. He's saying, I'm praying for you. But I want to tell you, Paul was not only praying for the church, and not only praying for the help thereof. And I want to tell you, it's a beneficial prayer for the people of God to pray for the church of the living God, to pray that the Lord's blessings would abound upon her, to pray that she would blossom and go forth, to pray that she would bring forth fruit pleasing unto the Father in heaven, that He would be pleased upon the things that she does. It is a beneficial prayer for each and every one of us to pray unto the Lord for those things to come to pass. But Paul knew not only that the church needed his prayers, he knew he needed the church's prayers. He said, finally, brethren, pray for us. He said, you pray for me. You pray for Silvanus. You pray for Timotheus, who those three were the ones who wrote this letter unto the church at Thessalonica. He said, finally, brethren, in closing. It doesn't mean that finally, in other words, these things are beneath all the other that I've written above. He's saying this in closing, as a closing salutation unto the church at Thessalonica. And as far as we know, there was no other communication between him and this precious group of people that he loved. But he told them, finally, brethren, you pray for us. You ever pray for the preaching of the gospel? You know, one of the examples I set forth whenever I began is that there's some things that are set. There's some things that through your intervention to the Lord is not going to change a thing, because the Lord will not change concerning His children and His elect people. They are His and they will be His forever. But I want to tell you this, little Lamb of God. The Scripture also tells us that we have not because we ask not. What does that mean? Does that mean that someone doesn't have eternal life because we don't ask the Lord to give it to them? No. The context is that we have not some things because we don't beckon the Lord and ask Him to give us what we stand in need of. And I want to tell you, a man desiring and to proclaim the truth unto the Lord's people without the aid of the Holy Spirit God, without the aid of the Lord coming upon him to speak the things that are contained in that book, they are lost. They will not be said with any power. They will not be received with any power. We stand in need of the Lord. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord, what word? The preached word of the Lord. That it may have free course. You know, something that's free is the opposite of something that's constrained or that's something that has an obstacle to it. You know, if I'm bound in chains, and I'm behind the barbells of prison, what am I? Am I free or am I constrained? I'm constrained. There are limitations to my mobility. Can't go far. There are obstacles to what I would like to do. There's something that's preventing me from being free. Well, the scripture says that the Apostle Paul, that he beckoned the church at Thessalonica. He said, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. That it would not have any obstacles. That it would not have anything that constrained it. That it would not have anything that prevented it from having the success and for it prospering in accordance with the will of God, in accordance to what the Lord's will is for the minister when he preaches and for his child whenever he hears it, that there would be no obstructions to that preaching, that there would be nothing that would prevent it from touching the hearts and minds of a dear little Lamb of God, that it would have free course and have nothing to stop it. And you say, what could stop it? Are we not under the impression that there's things that can create obstacles to our minds and our hearts in this world? There is not one thing that can be an obstacle and prevent the Holy Spirit from giving life unto one of the Lord's children. Not one thing. There is not neither life, nor death, nor principalities, nor angels. Nothing, nothing can prevent us from being changed by the Holy Spirit God. Whenever it comes to the new birth. But whenever we're speaking about the preaching of the gospel, there are some things that can hinder it from prospering and from being successful in accordance with the will of God. There are obstacles to you, obstacles to me. You know, the Scripture tells us that, I believe it's at the beginning of the Gospel of John, that there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And he's speaking about John the Baptist. What does he describe that man as? First thing he tells us is that he's a man. There's a man sent from God whose name is John. Now, people just say, he's just any old man. No. He's a man, but he was sent from God. He's a God-sent man. In other words, the Lord sent him forth for a purpose. But nevertheless, he's a man. There are things that can distract the man that is sent from God. If a man that's sent from God chooses, and he can make this choice, instead of reading and studying the Word of God, he can choose to say, I'd rather watch TV today. You know, some people call my office and they say, what are y'all up to today? I said, well, we've wheeled the TV out here. and we're watching Fox News, and I've gone to the grocery store and I've bought Cheetos and Coca-Colas, and we're sitting around here with our feet propped up just enjoying the day. What are you doing? A lot of times they say, well, we're working. I said, well, that's what we're endeavoring to do here too. I'd like to see the look on the commissioner's face if he walked in and there was a TV running down there with everybody eating Doritos. There might be an overturning of tables like you saw the Lord do whenever he came into his house and saw the money changers settling like they did. You have the capability to make choices in this world. And a man that stands before the Lord's people, he has choices that he can make. He can choose to study the Word of God. He can choose to pray that the Lord would guide his mind and that the Lord would direct his thoughts upon the things that the congregation that he stands before stands in need of. But you know, there's also a lot of things out here that distract the man. He can become distracted. Have you ever seen something on the news and it caught your attention? You say, I want to know a little bit more about that. And you begin to look up something on your phone and to learn more about whatever, and before you know it, 30 minutes is gone. It's gone. You're like, all I was going to do was just look, do a quick fact check on what they just said, and before you know it, a half hour is gone. It's gone. We know also that went with it. If the man is endeavoring to meditate upon those times, a man is endeavoring to study during those times, what he's done is there's been an obstacle. There's been something that has constrained his thoughts during that time. And I jumped all over me first. But let me mention that there's also some things upon those that hear the gospel that can distract and create obstacles from them hearing what the Lord's will is in the preaching of the gospel. An obstacle could be created by the man doing the preaching. You know, there's a reason why the Scripture tells the minister of the gospel to take heed unto thyself. Why? Because if there's in any way, shape, form, or fashion that you lose confidence in the man, there's no way to not lose confidence in the man and not lose confidence in the message that the man is bringing, that he's saying he's bringing from the Lord. There's an obstacle being created. That's the reason why whenever the devil attacks, a lot of times he's going to go right to that, so that the people of God would lose confidence in the man that stands before them, and the sheep began to run because the shepherd has been compromised in their presence. Take heed unto thyself is what Paul told the elders from Ephesus in Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 20 verse 8. Take heed unto thyself. In other words, you take heed that these things do not become an obstacle or a distraction to the people of God. You can engage in things in your life that create an obstacle to the hearing of the gospel. You know, one of the things that gets often mentioned is that based upon the things that we believe and about salvation, that if we believe that, you can just live any old way. That you can just do anything you want to, and that there's no consequences. Well, in eternity, there's not consequences. The Lord bore all those consequences on the cross at Calvary. But where do the consequences lie? Here. They lie here. You know, somebody told me one time that they feel uncomfortable around the people in the church. You know, I remember when I came into communication with the church, what I told them when I stood before them and asked them for a home in it is that I don't feel worthy to be among you, because they were such precious people. They were. And I didn't feel worthy to be among them. But I want to tell you, whenever your life, if you change your life and conform it to the ways of the church and the ways of truth, you'll begin to feel more comfortable around ones who are endeavoring to do the same. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course, that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it will do what the Apostle Paul says it does, and that it will do with the blessings of God. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You know, I remember one of the things I've heard Brother Tommy do several times when I've been at church, Elder Tommy Roundtree. I love some of his one-liners. They make me smile when I think about it. You know, if you're ever down there at church and somebody calls out a hymn that he likes, I love to hear Brother Tommy say, that's a good old hymn. I love to hear him say that. And one Sunday, whenever I was at church down there, there was some folks who came to church and hadn't been there in a while. And he went out and said, it's good to see you this morning. He said, it's good to see you here at church. He said, now you're not ashamed of the church, are you? And those people that came in said, no. And he said, well, good. Come back next Sunday. Don't be ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not looking for the acceptance of this world of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, if this world ever conforms and agrees with what I believe to be the gospel is, I'm going to get a little bit uncomfortable. But he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, that it would be free of obstruction whenever you hear that truth, that it would find its bedding place in your heart where Jesus Christ is on His throne, and it meets and matches with what you see in the Word of God, and that you rejoice therein because of what Jesus did for you. That it may have free course. That it may just fly as a dove does through the air, and that it may find a resting place just as it did in Noah's day whenever that dove did not return. Why didn't that dove return to the ark? Because I want to tell you what, it found rest for its soul. It found rest for the sole of its feet. And I want to tell you that prayer is just as true and necessary to be uttered by each and every saint of the Lord Jesus Christ today. Finally, brethren, pray for us. That the word of the Lord may have free course. That it may be glorified. Oh, what is the desire of the preaching of the truth? That it would have free course and that it would edify the ones that hear the things that come forth. You know, to be edified is what the Scripture tells us in Ephesians chapter 4 is one of the reasons why that the Lord gave the gifts unto men to preach the gospel for the edification of the body of Christ. You know, a lot of y'all are probably like me whenever you sit down to a meal. I just keep eating. You know, I don't know whether or not it's because if we go out to eat, a lot of times I feel like, well, we paid for it. And since I paid for it, I don't want it to go to waste. So send it on down here to the, you know, my mom used to call my daddy the garbage disposal whenever we was growing up, because whatever we didn't eat, he finished eating for us. Well, I've just fallen right in behind where he was. Just send it on down the line. I just love to eat it and consume it up. Because whenever I eat, I feel like I'm edified. I feel like I've been filled. Well, you know, someone who loves the truth and loves what the Lord did for them and loves hearing about Jesus Christ. You know, some people would say we need Christ-centered preaching. Amen and amen. You cannot preach Christ without preaching a covenant-keeping God. You cannot preach Christ without preaching the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot preach Christ without preaching the return of the Lord Jesus Christ and judgment upon iniquity and the comfort and the blessings to those that are going to dwell in eternity with Him. That's Christ-centered preaching. Last Sunday we tried to speak from Luke chapter 17 about the 10 lepers. And we tried to outline 9 different characteristics of who the Lord Jesus Christ from that lesson. That's Christ-centered preaching, so that the people of God would be edified, not only for that reason, but that it may be glorified, that the Lord may receive His glory. Who else do you think deserves the glory? It certainly is not the man bringing it forth. It certainly is not the institution in which the Lord dwells with His truth. We're not here to glorify those things. We're here to glorify the Lord and may be glorified. The Lord may be high and lifted up. Honor, praise, and glory. He even told them that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, is what He told that church at Thessalonica. If you'll remember, the Apostle Paul told them in his first letter to them that our gospel came not unto you in word only. You know, word only would be a dissertation or a presentation. Our gospel came not unto you in word only. But the scripture says that He told them that it came unto them with much power and with the Holy Ghost and with much assurance. They knew that whenever they heard that truth, that there was a power behind it, that it didn't matter the decibel of the man's voice. And you say, Brother Will, you're loud. I said, I know. But you know, I've heard someone who's not loud preach with the power of the Holy Ghost. And if you want me to speak quieter, just pray for me. Don't tell me that. It may hurt my feelings. I used to be quiet, and a lot of people wouldn't believe that if they met me today. I used to be the one that wouldn't open my mouth. I think I went down to one of our local middle schools this past week. They wanted me to come down to visit with some of the students and also go through mock interviews with them. And more than one of them mentioned to me that they had a fear of public speaking. And oh, I can sympathize with them. Oh, me. I had a fear of doing that. But I want to tell you, the power that comes behind the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't come with the decibel of the man's voice. It comes with authority from on high. The same authority that even those scribes witnessed whenever they saw Jesus Christ teaching on the mount. At the close of Matthew chapter 7, the scripture says that He taught not as one of the scribes, but as one who had authority. In other words, there's something about what that man's saying that I believe even though I don't understand it. That I love even though I've never heard it. And that's what He told this church at Thessalonica. He said, you pray for us that this word of the Lord, that it'll have free course. And then it will glorify the Lord. Be glorified even as it is with you. Pray also that we may be delivered from wicked and unreasonable men. Now, I've already mentioned one thing that Paul has obviously not, because of his request in this. Paul is obviously not a fatalist, or he wouldn't have. You know, a fatalist is someone who believes that all things that are going to come to pass are going to come to pass anyway. It doesn't really matter. The Bible doesn't teach that. It does matter. Your discretion and your guidance of the and beseeching the Lord for the guidance does change things. We serve a God that can change the outcome of things upon beseeching and beckoning Him. Obviously, Paul is also not under the impression that it's his responsibility to save wicked and unreasonable men. If you were to ask the question to a multitude of people today, is what is our responsibility as Christians today? Well, to witness to others so that we can save them. Well, Paul obviously was not of that frame of mind, because Paul asked them to pray for him that the preaching of the gospel would be blessed from on high, that it would glorify the Lord, that others would respond as the church at Thessalonica has, but that they would be delivered from wicked and unreasonable men. Now, if it's the responsibility of the gospel to save wicked and unreasonable men, why was Paul praying to be delivered from them? It's because it wasn't because Paul was a chicken, I can tell you that. That's one thing. There's a lot of things that you can't call Paul. No, I'm not going to call him that. He endured much more than what we can ever imagine. He faced the mariners. He faced a ship full of mariners. And he flat told them that if you abandon this ship, you cannot be saved. Boy, that's bold to go tell a bunch of shipmen. They say, get over there and sew some tents and leave us alone and let us take care of the directing of this ship. No, he stood because the Lord had spoken to him. He was bold. He was not a man of fear. He knew that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ would have zero effect upon those that were wicked and zero effect upon those that were unreasonable, because the Lord had not dealt with them yet. You show me one that the Lord has not dealt with, and I'll show you one that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ will do nothing for. You know, someone told me one time that they thought that it was still our responsibility to preach obedience to the wicked, and that so that they could live a beneficial lifestyle by what we preach about holiness and righteousness. And someone in response to that said, well, let's phrase that another way. The Scripture tells us that those that are wicked, they have an enmity against God. In other words, they not only don't have a desire to bear, they have a hatred and a wrath and a variance towards God. So you're going to go to somebody that has a hatred and a wrath and a variance towards God, that has never been touched by God, and say, but let me tell you about God so that you can listen and change your lifestyle. No, that's not what the purpose of the gospel is. The purpose of the gospel is to edify and build up the ones who have been touched by God. And I have never showed up and started trying to determine who was and who wasn't in there. I try to go where the Lord would send me, and those who the Lord has changed, it'll touch them if the Lord's blessings are upon it, and it'll change them if the Lord's blessings are upon it, and let the hide go with the hair from there. The Lord knoweth them that are His. That's His judgment. But He says that we may be delivered from wicked and unreasonable men. For all men have not faith. You know, which teaches us that faith comes when the Lord changes, regenerates us. Through the work of regeneration, we're given faith. And whenever the Lord gives us faith, and when the Lord adds His blessings upon the preaching of the gospel, that it would have a free course to the heart of one of His children, that it would glorify the Lord, that it would build you up. The Scripture tells us that the truth is able to build us up. See, this world tears us down. It's discouraging to us. I don't know how many of you receive the weekly articles that Brother Ronnie Loudermilk puts out. If you're interested in getting it, I'd love to put you on the mailing list. He sends it out to a multitude of people. But his article this past week was about disappointments. Discouragements and disappointments. And I'm going to tell you, this world is full of them. It's full of examples of when people have let you down. It's full of examples of when you fail. I don't know about you, but there's been times when I've been disappointed in myself, discouraged with myself. Lest anyone think that all I'm doing is criticizing somebody else, let me step my feet right into the coals too. There's times I'm disappointed and discouraged with myself. But I want to tell you about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. if it's directed about the subject that it's intended to, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Scripture tells us that whosoever believeth in Him, believeth, present tense believer, believeth in Him, shall not be ashamed. This world will tear us down. Disappointments and discouragements abound. But I want to tell you, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is about a subject that will never let you down. Can any of us stand in the Lord's presence this morning and say, "Lord, you let me down that time"? God forbid that those words would ever come forth from the lips of any one that has been blessed to be able to have the knowledge of what the Lord has done for them. People have let me down. But I want to tell you, I'm not going to blame that on the Lord. Whosoever believeth in Him shall not be ashamed. That you would be built up through the promises of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Scripture tells us that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And that liberty means, same, going right back to the example we gave about free course. You know, when you don't have liberty, you don't have free course, it's like your tongue tied. We have to loosen the tongues of, I ain't going to call his name, one of my children in the morning when I'm carrying him to school. We do some Bible reading in the car. And it takes us getting about halfway through the chapter before the tongue begins to loosen. The first couple of verses, there's a yawn in the middle of them, like he's still in the bed. Then there's the missing of a few of the words. And thankfully, I'm not looking at it to know he's missing a word, but the other one is and says, "That's not the word." But there's a tie. There's a tongue tie there. But when we become alert and awake and aware, like David prays unto the Lord in the 13th Psalm, that He would open his eyes and that He would make him aware where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Freedom. No bondage. But free course. You know, you can constrain that free course. You can, for nothing other than an accusation. You know, I hope our country is getting a good display over the past couple of weeks of just what accusations can mount to. And I'm going to tell you what, it's a shame. And you're seeing a manifestation of it. Scripture says, "Receive not an accusation against an elder, but before what? Two or three witnesses." Why is that? If you're allowed to receive it upon one, then what have you done? You've created the obstacle. I'll take the blame for it if you want me to, but really it's not my fault. You've received it. But upon two or three witnesses is what that means. Before two or three witnesses, that means you bring two or three. And I don't mean to get political on you, but if they bring some witnesses forward to say that a man did something that somebody's accusing him of doing, and he ought well to answer for it, but just having one word against another word, there's trouble there. You've made an accusation. You've created the obstacle. Not me. May the Lord bless us to utter these words that Paul beckoned this church to pray for. That the word of the Lord would be blessed from on high. That the preaching of the gospel would edify the inhabitants of the kingdom thereof. You know, I haven't been able to go to meetings over the past couple of months like I was in several months leading up to that. Even in the meetings that we were blessed to be able to enjoy here during the summer. But isn't it good to be able to witness and see the manifest blessings of God upon the preaching of the gospel? We ought to rejoice in that. If you have felt the power of the Holy Spirit on your heart upon the preaching of the gospel, you better thank the Lord for it. Don't thank the man. Thank the Lord, because it was His blessings that granted that unto you. That you've been blessed to have the Lord deliver you a message. You know, I don't know how many of you have, and I'll say this in closing. You know, some of you may can remember maybe what it's like if you had a long distance relationship with somebody. when Sister Allison and I started dating, I was a junior in high school, she was a senior, and she went off to college, and I said, another year of high school. Now, if you don't think that there wasn't some intimidation on my part, that there she was off at school somewhere, and I was at home with Mom and Daddy some nights. And boy, it was such a relief to hear that phone ring and to know that I was about to get to talk to her. Some of you may can relate to that, having a great distance between you in the midst of a relationship. But I want to tell you, when you're blessed to be able to be touched by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, that we would desire that communication from the Lord just as we would an earthly relationship today, just to be able to hear that phone ring and to know that the Lord is communicating with us. That is His means of communication in the New Testament dispensation. It is through the preaching of the gospel. And, you know, I believe that that ought to be humbling to someone who's where I am. And I believe it ought to be humbling to someone who is where you are too. That the Lord would, you know, Scripture calls it the foolishness of preaching. You know, is it because we think it's foolish? To them that perish is foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. You say, why does the Scripture call it foolishness? Have you ever spoken to somebody who has entered into this forum of the world's means today of the what we ought to be doing to communicate with the people? I like what I read yesterday. Is, you know, it seems like the modern movement is today. I can hand you all out a questionnaire and say, what would you desire in church? And then we can formulate it to whatever people desire it to be. No, the Scripture says it's the foolishness of preaching. Why is it foolishness of preaching? Because that's the way that the world looks at it. You mean to tell me that you believe that the Lord is directing the mind of a man to preach to you, and that you're listening to that, and that's the Lord speaking to you? Yes, sir. I'm just as foolish as you think I am, I guess. But I'm going to trust in the promises of God. I'm going to believe that if He says it, it's true. If it's in His Word, it's true, regardless of your outlook on me. And I'll pray that the Lord will smile at such an effort. And I thank you for your kind, sweet attention this morning.
How happy is every child of grace that feels His sin forgiveness, earth He prizes, not by grace I seek a place in heaven, a country far from mortal. Oh. are waiting ahead.